believe. I can go over there and show you where he used to lay, and he's not there anymore. And he's alive. By the way, I know he's alive because I talked with him today. And everything's all right in my father's house. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts. That's an easy one to find. We're going to look at verses 37 to 47. Wonderful passage, familiar to many people. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, put those phones away. I don't want to see a phone out there. Put it away. You don't need it. Put the Bible. It's what you need right now. Put it away. Don't just hide it. I don't want to see it. You got a Bible on that thing? You better have. Okay. Put it away. You don't have the Bible on your phone? Put it away. Listen, you are not so important that the world can't do without you for the next 45 minutes. You say you're only going to preach 45 minutes? I didn't say that. But at least for that long. The world will survive. Good night. You know, some of us remember when we didn't carry phones around with us. And we lived through it. And the world existed. Come on, folks, help me. Turn those stupid things off. Get your Bible out. All right, we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Bible says, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received him were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessing once again. We are needy people. Our need is you. Our need is the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, dealing with hearts of the Holy Spirit. Father, we are here today, and I can stand and make a speech, and it will do absolutely no good spiritually. We need the anointed preaching of your word, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need for him to take your word and apply it to hearts and lives today. Again, if there's somebody here or several here who aren't saved, that today they would understand their need of coming to Christ. For those who are saved, that we would understand our need of obeying you, surrendering to you, submitting to you and to your word. Lord, help me, you know, I just want to be that tool in your hand. Use me in that way. I pray today in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've titled this, Gladly Receiving God's Word. Gladly, let's focus on that for a minute. Gladly receiving God's word. You know, the day of Pentecost we're reading about here in Acts chapter 2 is unlike any other day since any day before it or any day since that day. The day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is what we often refer to a pivotal day in New Testament Christianity. You say, why do you call it pivotal? Because it was on this day, the day of Pentecost. Now, if you don't understand what Pentecost is, very simply, it's 50 days after Passover. The Jewish holiday was 50 days after the Passover celebration and the unleavened bread. So it's been 50 days. Jesus spent 40 of them dealing with his disciples. He took them aside for 40 days after his resurrection. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, that's what the Bible teaches. And he taught them. What an intense Bible college that must have been. And now, 10 days before, he goes on to heaven and he says, now you wait at Jerusalem for the Holy Ghost to come upon you. And 10 days later, while they're praying and all, and we read in Acts chapter 2 about all that went on, for the first time, the Holy Spirit of God comes to permanently indwell those who receive Christ as their Savior. All through the Old Testament, we read about the Holy Spirit coming on people and leaving, coming on people. But from the day of Pentecost on, we find the Holy Spirit now comes on those people, into those people who believe on the Lord, and he will never leave them. Now, that comes right down to our day today. If you're saved here today, at the instant of your salvation, Christ came into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you. But that first occurrence of that is found here on the day of Pentecost. Now, it's on that day that the Lord gave the apostles that special gift of being able to speak in a known language of their day without ever having to study or learn that language. People call it tongues. Now, we have the tongues movement today where people babble and, you know, all kinds of things and who knows what they're saying, and it's not biblical. Say amen. Not biblical. If you check the Bible out, none of it's biblical. First and foremost, a tongue, in the Bible definition, is a language, a known language of the day, but unknown to the person speaking it. And the gift is that they can now speak it without ever having studied it. But that's another sermon. I got to go on. So they had the ability to speak in tongues on that day. And then it was on that day that the Apostle Peter stood and preached that message on the day of Pentecost that we read in Acts chapter 2. And as a result of that message and God taking his word through Peter, the 3,000 people got saved that day. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? We can't imagine 3,000 people in the church. But on that day of Pentecost, now that was a miraculous day. It was a day that God had intended for all this and planned all this, because on that day, Jews from all over the place came. It was one of those days that all the Jewish men were to show up in Jerusalem. There was three of those in a year. And now the crowds are in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden God brings all this on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved and were baptized and were added unto the church that day. As I said earlier, never before was there such a day, and there has never been such a day since that day. Now, as we read the narrative, we find that Peter, having finished the preaching of God's word to these people there, he challenges them. They said, what should we do? He says, repent and be saved. Repent of your sin and come to Christ. And then we find in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now I want you to notice the key here. We love that 3,000 people got saved. I love that they followed the Lord in baptism, and I love that they were added to the church. You know, we try to help people start churches. We've given money and all kinds of things to try to start churches. But what an amazing thing if a man could go into a place, preach one sermon, have 3,000 people saved, then join his church the same day. And have a brand new church. That's what happened. So Peter preaches here. And it says that they gladly received his word. What word? The word Peter preached, the word of God. You see, that sentence is referring to those who were willing to accept the truth of God's word as it was proclaimed by Peter and without reservation. Now, this morning, I believe the need of every one of us in this room is to do just what these people did on that day. You say, what's that? Gladly receive the word of God. You see, I've learned this over the years. When people are willing to receive God's word gladly, wonderful things take place in their life. Now, in the text before us, we see several wonderful things that took place in the lives of those people on that day of Pentecost, and it was all because they gladly received his word. Listen, this morning, every one of us needs to receive God's word gladly. We need to receive God's word. Some need to receive it in the matter of salvation and be saved. Others here who have been saved need to receive God's word and yield themselves to it. Look up here for a minute. How many times have I said, oftentimes, it's not that we don't know what God says. We do. We just haven't yielded to it. Say amen. You're making me feel lonely up here. Say amen. That's good. So our need today is, number one, if you're not saved, you need to gladly receive the word of God and come to Christ. If you are saved this morning, I need to receive the word of God gladly and obey his word. Now, I want to share with you some reasons this morning we need to do that. And from our text, we find that when we receive the word of God gladly, it produces saved people. That's what the text teaches us. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, understand, you don't baptize people who didn't get saved. We'll deal with that baptism in a minute. But the fact that God records their being baptized means these people had gotten saved. They had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And only saved people can be baptized. Well, how'd they get saved? Peter preached. What did he preach? He preached the word of God that affected them, that got to them, that taught them, that showed them that they needed to be saved. You see, we learn from the Bible that the only way of salvation, the only way salvation comes to anybody is from the preaching of God's word and the hearing the word of God. Nobody gets saved without hearing the word of God. Now, over in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You see, the truths about salvation are found only in the word of God. How do we know we need saved? A lot of people out here don't know. They just don't have a clue about they're lost and on their way to hell. You know why? Because they don't know the word of God. If they would read the word of God, they'd come across the passages in Romans like 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it would make us understand we're all sinners. Now, I'm not trying to demean anybody, but friend, look at yourself. You're a sinner. Look at your neighbor. They're sinners. We're all a bunch of sinners. That's what God says. All have sinned, and because we've sinned, we've come short of the glory of God. In other words, we fall short of the mark. Let's just say and pretend that mark is the mark we would have to hit to get to heaven. You with me? Let's just pretend God set a mark and he said, okay, here's the mark you have to hit to get to heaven. The Bible says we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. Not one person in this world has ever hit that mark. Now watch. Some have come closer than others. You know some moral people? Some good people? How about Mother Teresa? Wasn't she a good person? Well, she probably got closer to the mark, but she still fell short. As we all do. Nobody has ever hit that mark. And the Word of God points that out to us. We're all sinners. We have fallen short. Okay, we got a problem. That's the mark you got to hit, and we can't hit the mark. So how do we get to heaven? Well, God tells us over in Romans 6:23, not only do we miss the mark, but we have a destiny, a penalty, if you will, that has to be paid because we've missed the mark. You can only go to heaven if you hit the mark. Okay, I missed the mark. What's that mean? It means you're going to hell. I don't like that. I don't like it either. But it's what it means. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because you've missed the mark, you now deserve. You didn't hit what had to be hit. Now you deserve. What you get is you're going to die and go to hell. That's the bad news. But the Bible also brings the good news. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You find that in the Bible. And what that means is we've missed the mark. We've all fallen short. Because we've fallen short, we don't get the prize, which is heaven. What we get is the booby prize, hell. But God loved us so much, he said, look, I'm going to make a way for you, even though you missed the mark, to get to heaven. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift. We don't deserve it. We missed the mark. The gift of God is eternal life. That's heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God sent Jesus now, and now he hit the mark. Jesus is the only man who could ever do it. He hit the mark. There was no sin to be found in him. And so he hit the mark. He perfected it. And now God says because he did that, he can take you with him. He paid your debt. He paid your penalty. If you will accept him, now you can go to heaven. But see, that's all in the Bible. You're not going to read that in Eastern Express newspaper. You're not going to find it in Good Housekeeping. It's not going to be broadcast on your TV, a prime time comedy show. We find that in the Bible. It's the Word of God. And that's what saves people. And that's why we're so adamant about getting tracts out, because they contain the Word of God. Sending tracts and Bibles across the oceans and getting the Bible translated into different languages. Why? Because it's the power of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, salvation is the gift. We can only do one of two things with gifts. With a gift, we can either receive it or reject it. And see, the Bible tells us you can't get there by your good works. You can't get there. Peter preached the Word of God on the day of Pentecost, and I'm glad for that. You know, Peter didn't preach his opinions. Peter didn't preach his preferences. Peter preached the truth of God's Word. He didn't preach what the religious leaders said. Listen, Peter was a Jew, right? We don't find Peter preaching the dogma, if you will, and the traditions of the Jews. No, he's preaching God's Word, what God had said. Now, we know that salvation can only come as a result of receiving God's Word. We have to be willing to say, yes, I believe that, I'm going to accept that, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have to hear it, we have to apply it. On the day of Pentecost here, we read about 3,000 people doing just that. They heard, they responded, they applied. You know what really troubles me today? A lot of times people will hear and they'll refuse to come to Christ. We go out door knocking and, you know, we'll talk to some people. Some people harden their heart. As soon as you knock on the door. We had one the other night, Harry and I knocked on the door and a woman came to the door and I showed her the track. Not interested. Didn't even open the door. Yelled at us through the door. Not interested. Hardened heart. And some cling to their false hope that somehow they're going to get to heaven by their religion. We found another man Thursday night. This fella knocked on the door and he didn't answer. So I went to the next door. While I'm at the next door, he answers. So I sent Harry over there. So Harry's over there talking to the guy. And then I went over. I start talking to the guy. And he's, I'm not trying to bash Catholics, but he was Roman Catholic. And he basically was saying he had his own beliefs. He had his own religion. And I said, well, do you believe the Bible? He said, no. I said, well, you believe what I say? No. Everything I asked him, he said, no. But as we talked, he kept coming back to, he's Catholic. He's Catholic. We have our beliefs. And, you know, I'm trying to tell him, hey, this is what the Bible says. He's not concerned. Don't want to hear it. And it's sad. And we find many like that. Then we find some who say, hey, not now, maybe later. You ever have one of those? Boy, I've had some of those occasions. You're talking to somebody. You can sense the Holy Spirit speaking to them, you know, dealing with their heart. And you get them down to that where you're drawing the net and you say, do you want to pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior, your Savior? And they say, well, I'm not ready right now. Listen, friend, you don't know you're going to have another chance. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. People need to get saved when they hear the Word of God. So number one, people need to gladly hear the Word of God because it produces saved people. That's how I got saved. If you're saved, that's how you got saved. Then number two, because it produces submitted people. Look at the latter part of verse 41. They gladly received his word and were baptized. Same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, the preaching of God's word produced people who willingly submitted to God's will. What did they do? They got baptized. All who accepted Christ as their Savior willingly got baptized. I like that because, listen, nobody had to put pressure on them. Nobody had to buttonhole them. Hey, you know you've been saved. You need to get baptized. They got saved and they said, hey, now what does God want me to do next? First step of obedience for a saved person is to get baptized. We find that in the Bible. So many times you find people got baptized, or got saved, got baptized, got saved, got baptized. Illustration here. Philippian jailer got saved that night, took Paul home, dressed his wounds, and Paul preached to his house. He and his whole house got baptized. So these people, they didn't argue, they didn't dispute, they just did. They said, well, what's next? Well, get baptized. You say, big deal. Well, for them it was a big deal. See, we're talking about Jews. Jews in Jerusalem, they got saved, they came to Christ, and when they did that, what they said was, we are accepting this one that the Jews had rejected, we are believing on him and accepting him as the Messiah and as our Savior. That's what they were saying. When they got saved, they took that on them. Now, when they're going to get baptized, it's going to be a public testimony that they've now accepted Jesus as the Messiah and their Savior, kind of putting it in the face of the Jewish officials. In other words, this wasn't an easy decision for them. It wasn't just come on Sunday morning and get dunked and everybody rejoices. It was come and get baptized, and now when I leave here, I am going to face very, very difficult persecution. See, these people who were baptized, when they went home, they were going to be ostracized by their family. We're told that in some instances, when a Jew gets saved and baptized and identifies with Christ, that their family has a funeral for them and considers them dead. That's some serious stuff, isn't it? Yeah? And again, they would be ostracized by the Jewish community in business and all kinds of things. Listen, there would be a price for them to pay. And yet the Bible says they were willing to be baptized. They didn't back up. They didn't back down. Hey, I want to do the next thing God says I ought to do. And so they were baptized. Now, they also became members of the church. It says, added unto them. Who's them? The church. Now the church is founded. Now they have 3,000 members. Now they would no longer follow the teachings of the Jewish leaders, but they would unite with those of like faith and follow the teachings of those who now would declare God's word. No doubt, families were divided, friendships abandoned, and the relationships broken. Not an easy decision. And now notice how the church became the central focus of their lives. The Bible says there that they met daily and worshiped together and all. I told you, I think, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Fidenda told me the one time, his oldest son, questioned about going to church on Wednesday night. He said, well, you don't find Wednesday night in the Bible. The pastor went back to Acts chapter 2. He said, well, you want to follow the Bible? That means we meet every day of the week. That's what they did. Now, they met on the Lord's Day, and we find that continuing through the New Testament. But in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost and beyond there, in Jerusalem, the church met every day. You say, why did they do that? I'll tell you why they did that. Because if you ever got a good dose of salvation, you'd want to do that too. What do you mean? Well, I don't know how it is for you, but I know when I got saved, all of a sudden God put something in my heart. I wanted to hear the Word of God. I wanted to be around Christian people. And if they were going to meet every day, I probably want to meet every day. Huh? That's what these people did. These who truly received God's Word, if you really have God's Word and you received it and you're saved, you're going to want to submit to it. See, when we accept this is what God says and this is what God's Word commands me to do, then it's going to cause me to want to do it. See, the problem is a lot of times Christians don't want to accept this is what God says. They try to explain it away. They want to accept this. Hey, I've heard this one. Well, I just don't agree with that. Really? You don't agree with God? Well, that's your interpretation. Okay, what's yours? Show it to me biblically. See, most of the time when people tell me that's your interpretation, their interpretation is nothing more than what they think. My interpretation is going to be, what does God say? There it is. Show me somewhere in the Bible where it says something else. You know, I've said many times, it don't matter what I think or what I feel. It don't matter what you think or what you feel. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago about salvation, and he said, well, I feel. I said, you know what? Don't matter what you feel. And it don't matter what I feel. It matters what does God say. See? Listen, if you're going on your feelings, you can be greatly misled. You better get back to the foundation of the Word of God. Many refuse to submit. I disagree. And that's your interpretation. And so many areas, you know, that people do that. So number one, We need to gladly receive the word of God because it produces saved people, and it produces submitted people, and steadfast people. Verse 42, and they, look, what's that next word? Continued, and then look after that, steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. You know what that means? It means they didn't waver. Straight. Steadfastly. Now, they continued, the Bible says steadfastly. It means, and I like this, when they got saved, they didn't disappear. You know what's frustrating? To see people get saved and maybe get in church, and then all of a sudden they disappear. But what happened to continuing steadfastly? I've been visiting somebody for 4 weeks now. They professed salvation, said they were saved, came to church once or twice, but I haven't been able to get them back in church, and I'm wondering, what's going on here? Something wrong here. We're supposed to continue steadfastly. And that means continuing on for the Lord and not disappearing, being in church, being busy for the Lord. These people were steadfast in being in church and in their doctrine. These people weren't wishy-washy and not going after some new thing. Listen, they were steadfast in what they were being taught and what they learned to be the Word of God. Some guy come down the pike, and in the Bible you read several times people tried to get believers away from the truth. The true believers stand fast in the truth. See, they learned what they believed and why they believed it, so they weren't shaken from it. And they steadfast in their fellowship. You know, they came to church when the doors were open. I said they came every day. Now, we don't expect you to come to church every day. Whew. But you know, God expects you to come when the doors are open. This is the Lord's day today. See, we don't believe in the Sabbath anymore. We believe Jesus did away with the Sabbath keeping. But we do believe in the Lord's day. And that's supposed to be today. What's that mean? We give this day to the Lord. We come to church, go home, have some dinner, you know, whatever we're doing. When church is on again this evening, we come back to church. Why? Because it's the Lord's day. And we fellowship with one another. We hear the preaching. We sing the song. And we give ourselves to the Lord on the Lord's day. But today, you know, the Lord's day is just the second day of the weekend. People have all kinds of stuff to do on Sunday. What's more important than being where God wants you to be? Boy, it's getting quiet. I guess I better move on. Steadfast in fellowship. You know, it's interesting, and I love this. Peter and the apostles didn't have to go and round people up to church. They showed up. You know, as a pastor, one of the things I do is I go try to round people up. I was out yesterday and I talked to somebody. I said, well, I'm just out trying to round people up and get them back in church. Really shouldn't have to do that, should I? Not if we're really, really listening to the Word of God and receiving what God says, because God said we're not to forsake the gathering together as the manner of some is. In the church house. They were steadfast in their prayers. Praying was a priority. They were steadfast in the breaking of bread. Now, you know, Baptists love to grab that one and say, yeah, food. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. They were steadfast in observing the Lord's Supper. Listen, when we have the Lord's Supper, if you're a saved, baptized member of our church, you need to be here. If you're not a saved, baptized member of our church, you need to get saved and baptized and be a member of our church so you can observe the Lord's Supper. Why? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of Him. And that's for the church. That's what we're supposed to do. And if we're going to gladly receive His Word, we need to submit ourselves to that and say, hey, they're having the Lord's Supper. I need to be there. Amen. I had a fellow in church in Gastonia, and I don't think he took the Lord's Supper the whole time I was there. We'd have it, you know, and they'd serve it, and he wouldn't take it. And after a while, he came to me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "look, I know you've seen that I don't take the Lord's Supper." I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "The reason is," he said, "I got something in my life that I know I shouldn't take the Lord's Supper." What it was he used tobacco. And I said, "Well, you know, I appreciate that you don't violate the Lord's Supper table like that, because Paul said that's dangerous." Amen? But I said, "You know, over there in 1 Corinthians, when Paul says you shouldn't partake, he's not saying that you should never partake again because you have..." What he's saying is, he says, examine yourself. And what you're supposed to do is examine yourself, and if there's something in your life that would keep you from partaking, change it, so that the next time you can take it. Amen. It's important. Now, taking the Lord's Supper doesn't make you any more saved. Getting baptized doesn't make you any more saved. But those are two ordinances God gave to the church for us to observe. And we need to observe them. You know, we need to be steadfast in our doctrine, steadfast in our fellowship, steadfast in our prayer, steadfast in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Number four, we need to gladly receive God's word because it produces sacrificial people. Look at verse 42. "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need." Wow. Now, listen, some of you are having a heart attack. Relax. I'm not saying you've got to go sell everything and bring the money. We're cool on that, right? That's not what I'm teaching. What I want you to see there, though, is what God did in those people's hearts. He gave them that spirit of being willing to sacrifice for His work. Can I say this? Today we find a very, very lethargic attitude, a lethargic spirit in our churches, and God's people being willing to sacrifice for the Lord. Many Christians are willing to give and do as long as it's convenient, as long as it don't require sacrifice. Are you with me? But when it comes to that place when now they got to tighten the belt a little bit financially, or give some of their time that they have their other interests, you know, and now they're going to have to give up something in order to serve the Lord, then the brakes go on. We're willing to do as long as it don't require sacrifice. Can I say to you, God gave the supreme sacrifice. And He asks us for a little bit, and we have a tenacity to say no. What do you mean a little bit? I'm talking about a little bit of time. A little bit of time to serve Him. Doing what? Well, maybe teaching a Sunday school class, or maybe working on a bus route, or maybe helping around a church, or how about just going soul winning? Or just when we call you and say, "Hey, we have somebody has a need. Can you help us?" Say, "Yeah." Listen, these people, do you get the import of what it's saying? They went home and took everything they owned and sold it. And then they brought the money in and gave it to the church so that they could give the people who were needy. Don't you think that's sacrifice? What made them do it? And I'm not trying to be critical of this, But don't forget, we're dealing with Jews. Noted for being tight. And here they are releasing it all. What in the world happened? They gladly received the Word of God, and it made such a big difference in their heart. See, now to them, you listen? Things of this world lost their value. Have you gotten there yet? In your Christian life? Where the things of this world really don't have all that much value? Because you realize, I'm going to leave it all behind anyway. For some of us older folks, we're just going to leave it all behind, and all the material stuff the kids are going to put in a dumpster and send it to the dump, and all the financial stuff they're going to waste because they didn't earn it. I don't like that. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. You die, they're going to put a big sign on your house, estate sale. And the whole world is going to traipse through your house and buy your little goodies. And whatever's left is going in that dumpster. I'm telling you, they don't want it. It's all treasures for you, but not for them. And then they'll fight over what's left. And you're going to leave it all behind. All that stuff you were so wrapped up in. These people realize, hey, things of this world lost all their glitter for them. Things of that world now became the priority. Listen, I'm not against having stuff, and I'm not preaching against having stuff, but I'm going to tell you this. We need to get where our priorities are not on the things of this world. And don't ever forget, you can lose everything you have in a heartbeat. I mean, in an instant. And then, one more thing. When you gladly receive the Word of God, it produces a single-minded people. Here's what that means. That means a unified people. Listen, when you have a church where people are receiving the Word of God and living as best they can by the Word of God, you're going to have a church of unity. When you got people who are rejecting the Word of God and not willing to live by the Word of God, you're going to have a church with a lot of turmoil. I'm just going to throw this out. Listen, nobody's giving me a bad time and nobody's picking at me or anything of that nature when I say this, but I'm going to tell you this. If you've got a critical spirit about the church or about other believers, you need to get back to the book. You got a heart problem. If all you can do is go away and criticize, that preacher preaches too long, he preaches too hard, I don't like his suit, I kind of like it myself, whatever, and Mr. So-and-so's this and Mr. So-and-so's that, and I don't like that song and all that, friend, you got a heart problem. And the way to correct it is get your nose in this book and get right with God. And you'll become unified with the rest of us. See, the Bible says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? You can't be in unity with us if you're not following the book, because we're following the book. Listen, I've been in the church where there's turmoil and critical spirit and all that kind of thing. And I've learned to identify where it's coming from. Somebody don't have a right heart. So, listen, if that's you, you need to go home today, or maybe even before you leave, you need to get on your face before God and say, oh, God, forgive me. Help me to have a single-minded spirit, a spirit of unity. Boy, these people had a spirit of unity. I kind of like our church. That's why I've been here 23 years. Kind of stuck around, you know. What happened was you grew on me and I grew on you. But seriously, we've got a great church, got a good spirit. Last Sunday night, we had the missionary here, And we had some folks standing around talking, you know, for quite a while. And the missionary said to me, he said, "Well, that's good when folks stick around." I said, "Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Unity. Enjoying being with one another. Looking forward to coming to church so I can see the folks at church. I haven't seen them all week. Well, come on Wednesday night. You get a little break in there, amen? But it's good to get together. I want to be with people in church." And that's what being in the book gets. Listen, day of Pentecost, great, mighty things happen. And it all comes back to that one reason. They gladly received the Word of God. And today that's what we need to do. Whatever the issue is in your life, whatever God's speaking to you about from His Word, gladly receive it. Friend, if you're not saved here today, gladly receive God's Word that He will save you if you'll come to Him. If you're not baptized, you've been saved, you've never been scripturally baptized, just come today in the invitation. Listen, I'm not going to dunk you today, but it will give us opportunity to set you up and know that you have that desire. You've never joined a church. Come this morning so we can get you into our fellowship and be a part of our family and unite with us. And maybe there's something in your life God's been speaking to you about. And you've been, maybe there's a sacrifice He wants you to make. Something He wants you to give up. Something He wants you to do. Will you come today and just, "Okay, Lord, I will submit to You." Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the testimony of these folks, how they gladly received Your Word and the results that it brought. Now, I pray that You'd bring results here today as folks gladly, once again, receive Your Word. Save the lost. Touch the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 489 in Songbook.